Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is November 1st, 2022, and you are listening to the live broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today, live on PGN, we're talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. For November 2022, we have analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy. With me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, happening live every Sunday at 12 p.m. and every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time. That's 12 p.m. Central or Texas time on Sundays and 4 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Texas time on Tuesdays. So that's every Sunday and Tuesday for November of 2022. Live on this broadcast, we'll be talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy, prophecy number 6 of 12 in the Book of Revelation. I invite you to share your perspective, present a prayer request, or pose a question during our live broadcast. You can text in your phone number. You can text in your question to the PGN text number, which is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. You can text in your question about the Book of Revelation 24/7. During the live broadcast, you can listen via the PGN phone number, which is 1-319-527-6027. A lot of people like to listen to PGN by listening to the archive and going to Apple Podcasts or one of the other sites where you can go to the archive and pull up any show in our PGN history. But if you want to listen live because that's good for you, or perhaps you want to listen live because you want to bring your prayer request, or you want to interact one-on-one because you have a question you want to pose or a comment you want to make, if you want to do that, you can always reach us live during the broadcast at 1-319-527-6027. So what happens is that if you are listening via the PGN phone number, your phone number shows up in our queue. Some numbers show up as 11111, but most phone numbers show up, but I will not call on you, and most hosts will not call on you unless you have your hand raised. In fact, I don't know of any PGN host who will unmute your phone line and bring you into the live broadcast unless you let us know that you want to do that. So how do you do that? If you are calling, and so you're listening live via telephone, again, that PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, press 1, and you'll hear an automated voice saying you are now in the host queue. And what that looks like on my side is I see your virtual hand raised, and that lets me know, hey, this caller wants to interact live during the broadcast, so I will call on you to hear your question, hear your comment, or receive your prayer request. So excited to share with you and everyone today about the Book of Revelation. It is a book of secrets, and there are many exciting secrets. Today we're talking about those secrets in the Earth Reaped Prophecy. This prophecy appears in chapter 14 of the Book of Revelation. So what am I talking about, this prophecy? Where do I get the language earth reaped from? When you examine the Book of Revelation, you will find that there are 12 consecutive statements of prophecy. They follow this format. Each one begins with its own abstract, which is simply a professional writing term for movie trailer in words. Every statement of prophecy, by my analysis, follows this format. That's one of the secrets that God revealed to me about the book of Revelation. So we have an abstract followed by continued discussion, or you could think of it as a full report. So what does that look like? Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5, we have the first statement of prophecy. That's the seven seals prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is followed by the seven trumpets prophecy. That's an exciting prophecy because it talks about the upcoming World War III. The sixth trumpet war, as well as the Battle of Armageddon, the seventh trumpet war. In the seven seals prophecy, the first prophecy in the book of Revelation, we get information about the four horsemen, the red horse, the white horse, the pale horse or green horse, depending on what translation you're looking at, and the black horse. The third statement of prophecy is the 1,260 days prophecy. So what is happening to Israel during the Great Tribulation? And what's happening with the church during the Great Tribulation? That's the fourth prophecy, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Obviously, the Great Tribulation involves both the church and Israel. Interestingly, these two statements of prophecy are juxtaposed following a pattern that we see in the book of Revelation. God reports what happens to biological Israel during the Great Tribulation, and that is immediately followed by what happens to the Gentiles during the same period. That's the second time we see that pattern in the book of Revelation. The fifth statement of prophecy is the 144,000 first fruits prophecy about those individuals who are in Israel with the biological makeup reflecting the fact that they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What happens to them? Indeed, as prophesied in the book of Romans, all Israel shall be saved. And when does that happen? When the full measure, the full number of Gentiles have come in. What does that mean? When the full number of Gentiles come to Christ, it says, and so all Israel will be saved. That's discussed. What about all Israel? Who is all Israel? It's talking about all Israel that's in the nation of Israel at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. They are all saved, and the proof of them being saved and who they are is revealed in the seven seals prophecy in Revelation chapter 7. And so we have as the sixth statement of prophecy, the earth reaped prophecy, which we're talking about today. So after a discussion of what is happening with biological Israel at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, we see what's happening with everyone. That's what we're talking about today in the earth reaped prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Just giving a quick overview of all the statements of prophecy, the seventh statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the seven plagues prophecy. In December of this year, we'll be talking about that prophecy. Who does the seven plagues impact? How does it happen? When does it happen? We'll be answering all those questions and more using scripture in December of this year. The eighth statement of prophecy is the purple and scarlet prophecy. That follows the seven plagues prophecy. That's in the book of Revelation. It's all about the harlot church, and it includes God's instruction for us to not partake of her sins. That is a very interesting prophecy. We'll be talking about that and all the prophecies in 2023. That's followed by the marriage supper prophecy, a detailed explanation in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation of what specifically happens during the Battle of Armageddon. It reveals how and when the first two enemies of God are destroyed with the second death. What's that? The second death is the strategy of God to remove every evil person, every evil entity, and every evil thing from the earth. So we see the first two, in the order of their destruction, of the five enemies of God that must be destroyed before we transition to the new earth. In Revelation chapter 20, we have the 10th statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. That's the millennial reign prophecy, the commencement, if you will, the beginning of the government of Jesus Christ. And we see at the end of that prophecy the destruction of Satan himself. He joins the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's God's strategy for destroying every evil thing, person, and entity that exists so that we can transition to the new earth. Also in chapter 20, the dead judged prophecy. Did you know that every human being that has ever lived, with the exception of the Antichrist and false prophet, who go immediately, they go immediately to the second death at the Battle of Armageddon when they are defeated by Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. They go immediately to the second death. But for every other human being, we are either resurrected to eternal life at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, or resurrected to eternal damnation at the time of the great white throne judgment. There's no opt-out. The trajectory of human life for every person is continuous. There is no ability to uncreate oneself in the same way that neither myself nor you had the ability to opt into life. We are the creation, not the creator. We don't have the ability to opt out of life. So we will necessarily have perfect continuity of life. What does that mean? So we're three in one, body, spirit, and soul. What's our soul? Our mind, will, and emotions. That will always be intact. Our spirit will always exist. Our body, that part, what form of body we have, that depends. And where we will spend eternity depends on what? Our decisions. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be resurrected to eternal life at the time of the marriage of the Lamb. Every person whose name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, again, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, will be resurrected for the purposes of judgment at the great white throne judgment. That's the 11th statement of prophecy at the end of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Finally, the last statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the new earth prophecy. This is the most exciting prophecy in the book of Revelation, in my opinion. It's debatable. They're all exciting and amazing. But what's the take-home point? Ultimately, the end of this world is coming. What does the Bible mean by that? The end of the age is coming. The earth will exist forever and ever. In fact, it's a world without end. However, the fallen state of the earth, the fallen state of man, has an end point. And so there are five enemies of God that must be defeated. Upon the defeat of the fifth and final enemy, we transition from this present earth that is corrupted. How do you know it's corrupted? The waters are not pure. A tree can die. An animal can die. Animals eat each other. we could go on and on about evidence that the earth is not in a state of perfection. If you look in Genesis, the earth was in a state of perfection. And before Adam and Eve sinned, humanity was in a state of perfection. But now both are in a fallen state. And so we have two things which God is accomplishing. Number one, the perfection of humanity. What does that mean? Us transitioning from our corruptible bodies to our incorruptible bodies. In other words, you and me and every person in Christ transitioning from mortality to immortality, putting on our peak performance body, which will allow us to dwell on this present earth at the time of the return of Jesus Christ. During the 1,000 millennial reign, we will continue in our peak performance body, and that peak performance body, that glorified body, that perfected body, that immortal body, also will permit us to dwell on the new earth. So what's the parallel track? We get our perfected bodies when the marriage of the Lamb happens. What's that? That's the resurrection. Being resurrected to what? So having our three in one restored, no human being has the ability to opt out. When a person falls asleep, what does it mean to fall asleep? To experience the first death. That person has perfect continuity of life with the soul completely intact, mind, will, and emotions, transitioning to the location known as heaven. For those who are in Christ, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those who are not in Christ, that soul continues two in one, soul and spirit, indwells in Hades. Well, you say, well, when does the person get to leave Hades? At the time of the great white throne judgment. That's the second resurrection. If a person falls asleep and is therefore relocated to heaven because the person dies in Christ, that person is relocated to this same present earth at the time of the marriage of the Lamb 1,000 years earlier. So what are we talking about today? We are looking at Revelation chapter 14. So if you're going to follow along, and I'm going to read these scriptures to us, we're talking about the earth reaped prophecy. Now, every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation begins with its own abstract. That's a professional writing term for movie trailer and words. Now, why do you have a movie trailer? The director wants to share with you what, from his or her perspective, are the highlights of a movie. What are the key conflicts? Who are the key players? And so even when you see a one-minute movie trailer, you have a pretty good idea of what is in the longer movie. And when you go to see the movie in its entirety, you're not confused when you see scenes from the movie trailer in the movie. So that's an important secret about the book of Revelation. We have to understand, number one, what statement of prophecy are we looking at? Because they all appear consecutively. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 statements of prophecy, beginning with the seven seals prophecy in chapter 5 and ending with the new earth prophecy in chapter 22. And each of these 12 statements of prophecy is its own documentary, its own prophetic report of actual events. By my analysis, at least seven of these statements of prophecy focus either exclusively or primarily on a 3.5-year period. You probably have guessed what that is. That is the Great Tribulation period. Some cover much longer periods of time, but that's important to know. So Number one, we need to know what statement of prophecy we're looking at. And then once we're in that statement of prophecy, the second question to answer is, are we in the abstract, which is the movie trailer, in words, or are we in the full movie, the full prophetic report? Because when you read the book of Revelation and you see something written, and then five verses later, the same event is described again, it can be confusing because you're like, wait, did this happen twice? I don't understand why it's presented this way. So if you're in another documentary about the same event, well, now you're taking a different look at the same event from a different perspective. Or you could be in the same statement of prophecy, but you moved from the movie trailer to the full movie. Okay, let us get down to it. We're talking about the earth reaped prophecy, reading from Revelation chapter 14. It begins with verse 6 and it ends with verse 20. Let us hear first the movie trailer in words. So this is from the perspective of God. What is the full story? In summary form. So what are the highlights? What are the key conflicts? Let's hear it. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It begins with John saying this, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God," he shouted. "Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." Let's pause there. So we hear in these first two verses in the movie trailer for the earth reaped prophecy that there's good news. And the good news is given to every nation, and an instruction is provided by the angel, fear God. Then, continuing in time, the angel says, the time has come when he will sit as judge. So this happens so fast. So the good news came when? When Jesus Christ came and it was revealed that he was God manifest in the flesh and he took on his disciples, the good news began to spread throughout the earth. And that good news, as it's shared here, was proclaimed to who? Every nation, tribe, language, and people. That is still happening. The passage of time continues. And now we hear this instruction, give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Okay, so now we have fast forwarded in time from the time when the good news began and it continued to be spread to every nation, tribe, language, and people, which is happening now. And then at some point in the near future coming up is the time where he will sit as judge. Now, what else is going to happen at this time? We're in the movie trailer, so it's going fast. It's covering thousands of years, a long period of time. Continuing in verse 8, it says, then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Now, this is very interesting. We get this one verse, verse 8, in the movie trailer telling us about Babylon and how Babylon is fallen and the fact that Babylon was negatively impactful, bringing immorality to not some nations or many nations, but all the nations. So what is this about? This is a reference to Mystery Babylon discussed in the purple and scarlet prophecy in the book of Revelation. So we're in prophecy number 6, the earth reaped prophecy, but there's a reference to another prophecy in the book of Revelation. So one of the secrets about this book is that it is a series of prophetic reports focusing on one culminating event. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ, where it is revealed to the entire world that he is, in fact, the Messiah, that he is, in fact, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This revelation is so important, and it has so many facets, so many complexities, that it's insufficient to simply present one documentary, one movie about it, to really understand all of the important aspects about this important event. God uses 12 documentaries, if you will, 12 movies, if you will, 12 prophetic reports, which are documentaries in written form, to share with us from his perspective the important events. So, for example, if you wanted to talk about the 2020 presidential election of the United States of America, you could make multiple documentaries. You could talk about what happened in Arizona. You could talk about 1134 and what God shared with Prophet Randy about 1134. You could talk about where Donald Trump was on the day of the election, what he said and what he didn't say. We could go on and on. So many interesting and important things happened. Similarly, talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, many important things are happening. And so here in this earth reaped prophecy, like all the statements of prophecy, all 12 culminate with the second coming of Jesus Christ, but it is focusing on a specific storyline, a specific set of events that are important and connected to the second coming. So here in this movie trailer in verse 8, we're talking about the time of judgment. And it mentions, by the way, at this time of judgment, Babylon has fallen. And it tells us why. Because she's made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Okay, so that's a reference to the purple and scarlet prophecy in Revelation chapter 17. Let's continue. In the movie trailer, verse 9, it then says, then a third angel followed them shouting, anyone who worships the beast and his statue, who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. So what is this saying? What is the wine of God's anger? This is talking about the wrath of God. This is talking about the great wine press. This is talking about ultimately God bringing justice. So let's hear more about that. Then it says, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Now, it just happened again. We went from one period of time, and now we've traversed 1,000 years. You say, well, research scientists, how did that happen? So talking about God's cup of wrath, and now it's time for God's judgment, that happens at a specific point in time. But being tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and then it says, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. Now we've transitioned to the second death. So it's one thing for a person to experience the first death, right? It's one thing for a person to die, for example. Let's say a person is in the army of the 10-nation alliance at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and they have that mark of the beast. That person will die in the Battle of Armageddon. That person will die during that war, experiencing what we call falling asleep, the first death. When that person dies, the person has perfect continuity of life and goes to Hades as a disembodied spirit, but the same soul, mind, will, and emotions, and the same spirit. However, the person will be resurrected when? 1,000 years later, at the great white throne judgment described in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, and ultimately, as described here in verse 11, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. So what we see here is that in this movie trailer in words, periods of more than 1,000 years are covered. Specifically, talking about those who take the mark of the beast, in this movie trailer, we're told they're going to experience God's wrath. And ultimately, they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur. Where's that? That's in the lake of fire. And how long does that last for? That's forever and ever. And so we tend to think of experiences in life as, well, what's happening next year, or what happened 5 years ago, or what's happening in 20 years. But God is talking about eternity. So often in the book of Revelation, periods of time, extensive periods of time are spanned in just a few verses. So we see that here in the movie trailer in words. It's telling us about what happens to those who take the mark of the beast immediately with experiencing God's wrath, and then ultimately what happens to them forever and ever. Now that we've heard that movie trailer in words, let's get into the details. So the details, the full report, so those were the highlights from the perspective of God. In a nutshell, we went from beginning to end, specifically with those people who take the mark of the beast. So this statement of prophecy is telling us about how we begin with the good news being spread and we end with God's judgment. Okay, that is important. And then it tells us, by the way, at the time of God's judgment, Babylon is fallen. And the reason is that during the Great Tribulation, she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. And then finally, the movie trailer ends with saying, for everyone who took the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation, they're going to drink of God's anger. And ultimately, they are going into the lake of fire where they will be tormented forever and ever. So that's the movie trailer in words for the Earth Reach Prophecy, verses 6 to 11 of chapter 14. Now let's hear the full report. The full report will include the information we just heard, but we will get some more details. We'll get more information. When you go from the movie trailer to the movie, usually all or most of the scenes are in the movie trailer, but you get additional scenes, right? More information. Let's continue. And by the way, let me mention this format used in the book of Revelation, it's used for the most complex nonfiction reports that exist. So when you look at scientific writing that's very complex, if you were to look at research reports for clinical trials for the vaccine or research reports with treatments attempting to eradicate cancer, or you were to look at any complex scientific report, they all follow this format. You begin with a movie trailer in words, which we call an abstract, and then that's followed by a full report. And that's important for a number of reasons, but a key reason is that it helps the reader to know what's most important from the perspective of the writer. So now we know what's most important from the perspective of God about this earth-reaped prophecy, but let's get into some of the additional details which are shared beyond verse 11 and 12. So verse 12 said, "This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus." That is the last sentence in the movie trailer in words. Let me read it again. "This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus." So that's important. Enduring God's persecution all the way through the Great Tribulation until the time of the Second Coming. Now for the movie in its entirety, the full prophetic report begins with verse 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them." When it says this, what does it mean? So now we've gone back in time, right? So when you have a movie trailer, it goes to wherever the director wants you to go in the movie. That's important. But when you go to the full movie, now you back up. So now we have backed up because we're in the full movie. It says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on." So when did that happen? When does that blessing start? It starts with once the good news was shared. So from the beginning of the point in time where the good news was shared, every person who died in Christ was blessed. And it explains why. Because we rest from our hard work and our good deeds follow us. How do we rest? We're in the Lord. Let's continue. In verse 14, it says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." Now we're getting into details that we didn't have in the movie trailer. Here they come. "Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." Let's pause there. So that includes verses 14 to 16. Oh, the secret in these verses is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. This is the secret revealed of when the wheat are separated from the weeds. So in Matthew, we have the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Some translation says the wheat and the tares, the separation of the sheep and the goats. The separation also in Matthew, we have the parable, says at the end, the good fish will be separated from the bad fish. How does this separation happen? So when the fullness of the Gentiles, when the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ, on that appointed day, Jesus Christ returns. That's the second coming. He comes as a lion. The first time he came as a lamb. The second time that he comes to this present earth, he's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he comes, he will marry his bride. Every person who's Team Jesus, every person who has followed God's plan for salvation, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will transition from being human and a part of humanity to being a member of the royal race. The whole earth will be harvested. Every person who is in heaven, who died in Christ, will put on their incorruptible bodies, becoming a member of the royal race, three in one, in a physical, tangible body on this present earth, and every person on the earth, every person who's on the earth at the time of the second coming, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will transition from mortality to immortality. That's the harvest. So what is the earth's crop? The earth's crop refers to the sheep, everyone who's Team Jesus. The goats refer to everyone who's Team Satan. All the good fish refer to every person who's Team Jesus. All the bad fish refer to everyone who's Team Satan. Everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is part of the earth's crop. Every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is a part of the grapes from the vines of the earth. So the secret in verses 14 to 16 is that there is a harvesting of the earth. Finally, the day has arrived where the sheep are separated from the goats, where the wheat are separated from the tares, where the good fish are separated from the bad fish, where God gets his forever family. He is in his resurrected body, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and we are in our resurrected bodies, never to be separated again. But what else happens? What else happens when the earth is reaped? That's only half the story. That's only half the story. Now, I think that that's the most important part. But if you are a truth seeker, and I believe that you are, that's why you want to know the secrets about the book of Revelation, we need to know the other half of the story. So we have found out what happened to the sheep, also known as the good fish, also known as the wheat, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the way, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will receive the mark of God on his or her forehead. What's the mark of God? It's the seal of God. It's the name, the new name of Jesus Christ, the name of his Father, and the name of the city of the Father, which is the New Jerusalem. We say, where's that? That's in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says in verse 12, he who overcomes is victorious. He says a few things, and then he says in the same verse, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. So the mark of the beast is a counterfeit. Every person who is harvested as part of the earth's crop at the time of the second coming does not have the counterfeit mark, but will receive the mark of God. That's the true mark. Now let's continue in this earth-reaped prophecy. Verse 17. So it begins with verse 6 of chapter 14 and it ends with verse 20. Let's see what happens in verse 17. It says, after that, what's that? So after the marriage of the Lamb, After the first resurrection, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." Let's pause there. Now we're in the full movie. Notice that it's saying they're ripe for judgment. We already heard that it was time for judgment in the movie trailer. So this doesn't happen twice. It's just that now we've moved beyond the movie trailer and we're in the movie. So we're getting more details, and now we finally come to the part in the full movie that was already discussed in the movie trailer. So when we look at the earth reaped prophecy, it's already telling us about the time for judgment in verse 7. Now we're here in verse 18, and we're there again. Okay, but it's the same point in time. We're beyond the movie trailer. We're in the full movie. So the angel, then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." So who are the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth? These individuals are the tares. In some translations, these individuals are the weeds. So we're talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. Now we have the same two groups discussed as earth's crop and clusters of grapes from the vines. So who are the people included in the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth? The tares, the weeds, the goats, the bad fish. And what about them? It says, "For they are ripe for judgment." Now, what does this mean? Let's continue. Verse 19. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. Let's talk about the great winepress. The winepress is mentioned again in the book of Revelation when we look at Revelation chapter 19. Let's hear that verse. In verse 15 of Revelation chapter 19, in the marriage supper prophecy, it talks about the great winepress. Let's go to that briefly. So you see that these statements of prophecy reference each other. And in order to unlock all the secrets, all the statements of prophecy must be analyzed. So in the marriage supper prophecy, which is about the Battle of Armageddon, how it happens, when it happens, what happens at the end, in verse 15 it says, "From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations." So here we find out that Jesus Christ is fighting the Battle of Armageddon, a war waged in righteousness. And it says here in verse 15, he will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. That's an important secret. So the wine press is a metaphor for what happens when God destroys his enemies during the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. Now, this is important because when we look at the end of this earth-reaped prophecy, verses 19 and 20 are the end. Now we'll understand the secret in verse 20. Let's hear the last verse of the earth-reaped prophecy. It says, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. What city? Jerusalem. Well, you say, well, how do you know it's Jerusalem? Because we're talking about the Battle of Armageddon, and it's fought in a specific location, which is Israel, and in a specific city on a specific hill. The grapes were trampled in the winepress. Now, who are the grapes? The grapes are those who have the mark of the beast. The grapes are those who are Team Satan. The grapes are those who are the goats. The grapes are the tares, the weeds, who have been separated from the sheep, the wheat, earth's crop. These individuals are judged after, and it, close in time. This appears to happen very close in time. Perhaps it's on the same day. After crop is harvested, then it's time for judgment. It's time for the great wine press. It is finally that day where Jesus will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. And when the government prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, the government of Jesus Christ, which will have no end when it begins. So the government of Jesus Christ begins on this present earth. It continues for 1,000 years during the millennial reign, described in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And then it continues after the fifth and final enemy of God. What's that? Death. The final enemy that Jesus Christ destroys will be death. Death will be thrown into the lake of fire. When that final enemy is destroyed, we transition from this present earth to a new earth. What's that? That's the perfected version, a glorified earth, an earth that is not under the curse. Now, going back to the earth-reaped prophecy, it says in verse 19, so the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes, so that's all the sheep, everyone who has the mark of the beast. Now, in the movie trailer, in words, that was described, that was noted. It said in verse 9, anyone who worships the beast and has his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. Now, when does that happen? What's the wine of God's anger? That's the great wine press. That's what happens when Jesus Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon with the weapon, which is the sword that comes from his mouth. It's an actual weapon. And it says in verse 9, it has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath. Now, we're getting the details of it. How does it happen? When does it happen? So it happens here at the Battle of Armageddon. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. You might say, I'm not persuaded that this happens at the Battle of Armageddon. Well, here's the verse that tells us that. The last verse in the earth-reaped prophecy says, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So what is this earth-reaped prophecy telling us? We get a detailed explanation of what happens at the time of the second coming with respect to those who are on the earth, as well as those in heaven, how the earth's crop is harvested, and specifically what happens to those on the earth who have the mark of the beast, who are in Israel at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, to fully unlock the secrets in this prophecy, we look at the marriage supper prophecy. We've already looked at verse 15. Let's look at a few other verses that help us to be clear on what this last verse is saying. It says, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress. Now, this blood is referenced several times in the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation chapter 19. So the marriage supper prophecy is important because it describes the Battle of Armageddon. Now, you may have heard that the marriage supper refers to a banquet where after Jesus marries his bride, that's the saints, all of us who are Team Jesus, all of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that will have a wonderful feast. We'll have steak and fish and shrimp and I'm just thinking of the things I like. But fill in the blanks with whatever foods you like. I really like the idea of that. And maybe that is a reality that is coming. We certainly know that when Jesus rose from the dead in his resurrected body, he did eat food, right? He said, give me some fish, and they gave him give me something to eat, and they gave him some fish, and he ate it. So we will have the ability to eat food in our resurrected bodies. However, the marriage banquet, the marriage feast, the wedding banquet, the marriage supper, just all words used depending on what translation you're looking at of the Bible for Revelation chapter 19, it's talking about food for a specific group, and it's not us. It's not the saints. Let's look at verse 17 of Revelation chapter 19, and why are we doing this? We want to understand the earth-reaped prophecy, those last two verses. So in the marriage supper prophecy, we're looking for where it talks about the blood. And this blood, because now it's telling us, okay, there's 180 miles of blood. What is this? So this is the blood that exists in the aftermath of the Battle of Armageddon, which has been fought and won by Jesus Christ and the armies, with an S, of heaven, the troops of heaven. So in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17, it says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. So you just heard it. The great banquet has been prepared by God, and it is after the resurrection. So it is after the marriage of the Lamb. This is the wedding banquet, the marriage supper, but it's not for the saints. It's for the vultures. A command is given to come and gather, but the command is not given to the church. It's not given to biological Israel who's waiting there in Israel at the time of the second coming. It's given to the vultures flying in the air. Now, why are they given this command? In verse 18, it continues with this. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. You might say, well, wait a second. If it's all humanity, doesn't that include us, the church? Absolutely not. This is after the marriage of the Lamb. So first, the earth's crop is harvested. After the earth's crop is harvested, then there's the Battle of Armageddon. Then there is the harvesting, the great wine press of the grapes, the goats, the wheat, the tares, the bad fish, those who have given themselves to Satan under the instruction of the false prophet and leadership of the Antichrist, they have taken the mark of the beast. So at this point, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is no longer a part of humanity. We're members of the royal race in our incorruptible, perfected, glorified bodies. And these vultures have been given the instruction to come because God has a cleanup plan for the 180 miles of blood. So we heard that there are going to be 180 miles of blood. Well, what's going to be in this blood? We hear it in the Marriage Supper Prophecy. It's explained. It's going to be the flesh of kings, generals, strong warriors, horses and their riders, all humanity, free and slave, small and great. These are those who have the mark of the beast and who are there in a specific location where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought in Israel. And then it says in verse 19 of chapter 19, "Then I saw the beasts and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." So there we have it. We're given that visual, the reality. Team Antichrist and false prophet and the armies of the world, team Jesus and the armies of heaven. Then it tells us the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. Then continuing on, at the end of the marriage supper prophecy, it ends just like the earth reaped prophecy. This event doesn't happen twice. These are two different statements of prophecy culminating in the same event. All 12 of the statements of prophecy culminate in the same event, the second coming of Jesus Christ. In this prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy, it's focused on what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. And so it ends with this. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who leads the Battle of Armageddon. Then it says the last verse in the marriage supper prophecy, "And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies." Okay, now why did we need to hear that? We needed to hear that because when you look at the earth reaped prophecy, it ends the same way. Verse 20, "The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city." Who are the grapes? Everyone who bears the mark of the beast, everyone who's team Satan, everyone who's in the armies of the 10-nation alliance fighting under the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet. So the Battle of Armageddon is not a worldwide war. It's a battle fought in a specific location in Israel. And specifically, there will be people, the 144,000, waiting for the troops of the Antichrist and the armies of the world will be gathered there. They're going to come there through the dried up River Euphrates. They're thinking they're coming to annihilate, to destroy Israel. In fact, they're coming to their doom. They're coming to their destruction. They're about to experience the first death. They're about to experience the great winepress of God's wrath. Now, God says, in the end, the wheat will be separated from the tares. The sheep will be separated from the goats. The good fish will be separated from the bad fish. Now, we hear at the end of the earth reaped prophecy, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. That's in Israel. Everyone who had the mark of the beast fighting on behalf of the Antichrist and the false prophet, and blood flowed from the winepress. So how much blood? How big is this this carnage? It says there's a stream about 180 miles long. Now, a 10-nation alliance is huge.
It's essentially a one world government that will dominate the economic and political affairs during the 3.5 year Great Tribulation period. So we can imagine that the number of people coming to fight the 144,000, the number of people coming to fight these armies, it will be a great number. Nonetheless, 100%, no person, neither the Antichrist nor the false prophet nor any member of those armies is going to survive the Battle of Armageddon. Every person who bears the mark of the beast and who is there fighting on behalf of the 10-nation alliance underneath the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet, we're told in the marriage supper prophecy, the Antichrist and false prophet are destroyed. They go straight to their second death, the lake of fire, and all the people serving them experience the first death. Now, this is important. So we know that they die, unfortunately. They experience the first death. But in the movie trailer, it said this. So let's go back to the movie trailer for this prophecy. The movie trailer includes verses 6 to 11. I think I said 6 to 12 earlier, but I meant to say verses 6 to 11. It says here, anyone who worships the beast and his statue, I'm in verse 9. Let's look at verses 9 to 11 that include, that are a part of the movie trailer for the Earth Reap prophecy. It says in part, anyone who worships the beast and his statue or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath. Okay, so that's important. The wine press, the Battle of Armageddon, but the wheat being separated from the weeds, the wheat being separated from the tares refers to a larger reality. So there's the reality of what happens at the time of the second coming. There's that bifurcation. Everyone who's Team Jesus transitions to a perfected, glorified body, transitions from being a part of humanity to being a member of the royal race, and every person who has the mark of the beast fighting there during the Battle of Armageddon experiences the first death. So that is an important separation. Now there's the bifurcation. We're going two different ways. But there's a larger reality, and God references that larger reality in the movie trailer. And it says in verse 11, let's start in verse 10, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night. For they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. So you don't want to take the mark of his name, the mark of the beast. That's a counterfeit mark. You want the mark with Jesus' new name. That's the real mark. Referenced in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. In Revelation 22, verse 4, it says, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Whose name? The name of Jesus Christ, his new name. Now, what is this larger reality with the separation of the wheat and the tares? At the time of the second coming and the fighting of the Battle of Armageddon, the goats experience the first death. But this being tormented forever and ever, when does that happen? Now, we're going over some hundreds of years. We're going more than 1,000 years. We're going to the great white throne judgment. This is an important secret in the book of Revelation. Please stay with me on this.
we tend to think of life in terms of months, years, maybe decades. But God talks about millennia and eternities with an S. And so God is telling us this secret. Beyond falling asleep, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not only experience the first death, these people who have the mark of the beast, not only will they experience the first death, but ultimately, after they go to the great white throne judgment, and it's confirmed that their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. They will experience the second death. In verse 15 of chapter 20, it says, "And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire." Let's read that prophecy. There are two very short statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. One is the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. The second is the dead judged prophecy. It's just five verses, but five very powerful verses. I want us to take a look at this prophecy because we need it to unlock secrets in the earth reaped prophecy. So one of the secrets in the earth reaped prophecy is that what it means for the wheat to be separated from the weeds, the sheep to be separated from the goats, the good fish from the bad fish, is not only the separation at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, but the separation where those who are resurrected at the time of the great white throne judgment ultimately go to outer darkness. What's outer darkness? That's the lake of fire. That's a permanent death. That's the second death. Let's hear that in Revelation chapter 20. After the Battle of Armageddon, we hear in the millennial reign prophecy about what happens when Jesus establishes his government. So in Isaiah chapter 9, it's prophesied that the government will be put on his shoulders and that of the increase and peace of his government, there shall be no end. So once Jesus Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, his government will begin, and it will never, ever end. Now, the nations will continue. The nations will be permitted to continue, but under the ultimate authority of the government of Jesus Christ. That government will have no end. It will continue for 1,000 years on this present earth, and it will continue when we transition from the present earth to the new earth. Now, what about these grapes? These grapes that experience the great wine press at the Battle of Armageddon, how is it that they end up in the lake of fire forever and ever? So it says in verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20, this is the dead judge prophecy. So this is after Satan, the third enemy to be destroyed, after he's thrown into the lake of fire, this is what happens. 1,000 years later, every person who died from the sword coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ because he or she was Team Satan, because he or she took the mark of the beast, because he or she was fighting in the armies of the 10-nation alliance under the leadership of the Antichrist and false prophet, those individuals, all the millions, I don't know how many millions, we're not told, but imagine if there will be 200 million troops in the sixth trumpet war, how many troops will there be in the seventh trumpet war? I don't know. Nonetheless, 100% of those people will experience the first death at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, but they will be resurrected. They will be resurrected. Every person who dies, as I mentioned earlier, the first death if you're neither the Antichrist nor the false prophet, truly it's not a big deal. Here's why. Every person is going to be resurrected either at time one, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ, or at time two, the great white throne judgment, which we're about to hear about. What's a big deal is which time period, at which resurrection will you participate? Now, if you participate in the first resurrection, well, now you get your incorruptible body. You get your ticket to the new earth. You get eternal life through Jesus Christ. But if you participate in the second resurrection that happens 1,000 years after the return, that means your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means you didn't get a ticket. That means you rejected the opportunity to get in right standing with God. That means your sins separate you from God and that you therefore will be denied admission to the new earth. Friend, you don't want to be denied admission to the new earth. You don't want to spend eternity in outer darkness. There's no button to say game over, I opt out. There's no opportunity to self-select out. There's no opportunity to uncreate oneself. There is perfect continuity of life for every human being beyond the first death, beyond the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there are only two trajectories. Those who continue in a tangible peak performance body, a body that has no ability to experience death, a body that has no errors in its DNA, a body that's suitable for habitation on the present earth as well as the new earth to come, a body that will exist and live forever and ever. The second trajectory is continuity of life in a body in the outer darkness, in the lake of fire. We say, research scientists, how do you know there will be a body? If you're in the lake of fire, maybe you don't have a body. Well, it tells us in the Bible over and over again that in the lake of fire, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if there's gnashing of teeth, you have to have some teeth to gnash. And if there's weeping, that means you have emotions. The soul will never, ever fail to exist. You will always have your mind, will, and emotions. Now, you won't always have a corruptible body, but you'll have some type of body. Ultimately, we are disembodied when we live in heaven before the second coming, or when a person lives in hell before the great white throne judgment, but ultimately all of humanity is resurrected either to eternal life at the time of the second coming or to eternal damnation at the time of the great white throne judgment. Now let's hear about this great white throne judgment. The grapes are resurrected to eternal damnation 1,000 years after the beginning of the government of Jesus Christ, and here's where the Bible reveals this secret. Verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, the dead judge prophecy says this, "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Let's pause there. Now, who are the dead? The dead are those who have experienced the first death and who missed the first resurrection. So this does not include those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This does not include the sheep. This does not include the earth's crop. This does not include the good fish. Who does this include? The tares, the weeds, the goats. Every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the bad fish. Let's continue. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. So this confirms who goes into the lake of fire? Two groups of people. So who's already in the lake of fire? Who is already in outer darkness forever and ever for the eternities of eternities? The Antichrist and the false prophet, that happened at the Battle of Armageddon, described in Revelation chapter 19, verse 19. The devil himself, he joins the Antichrist and the false prophet 1,000 years later. That's in Revelation 20, verse 10. And now the final two enemies of God, these two enemies must be destroyed so that we can go to the new earth. We get a perfected version of this earth. But first, the final two enemies of God must be destroyed. Now, who are those two final enemies? They're described here. Every person who is separated from God due to sin, every person who is Team Satan, every person who refused to follow God's plan for salvation. What plan? The plan that existed at the time the person lived on the earth. Every person who's Team Satan. Now, if we're talking only about the time of the second coming, those who have the mark of the beast. But this is bigger than that. This is what happens at the end of the age, the end of the world. The end of the world is coming. What world? The corruptible earth. We're going from this present earth to a new earth. When does that happen? It happens after the final enemy is destroyed. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. Every person, we heard it just now, every person whose name wasn't in the Lamb's Book of Life is thrown into the lake of fire. That's forever and ever, the eternities of eternities. They join the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil who were already there. Now, the lake of fire was not designed for any person. We're all supposed to join the royal race. We're all supposed to transition from mortality to immortality. God's plan for us is to have our restored sonship. Adam and Eve lost sonship, but God created a plan so that we could get back what he always intended for all of us to have, which is the ability, the opportunity to be in fellowship with him, to see him, to live with him, and to be a part of his forever family. But he's not going to make you He's not going to make you be a member of his forever family. You get to decide. Yes, truth seeker and friend, it's your choice. You might say, you know, I want to be in that outer darkness. I don't know why. I don't know why you want to do that, but it's absolutely your choice. You get to decide, do you want to be resurrected to eternal life at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, or do you want to be resurrected to eternal damnation at the time of the great white throne judgment? So, friend, how does it all end? It all ends with us dwelling on the new earth. What happens on the new earth? In Revelation 22, it says, let's go to Revelation 21. Then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away. And it says, death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. So we're going from the former order of things, this corruptible earth, these corruptible bodies, to the new order. God's new order is every person living on the new earth in a new body, a peak performance for everybody. So friend, whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm so excited to share more about this Earth Reaped prophecy with you. Please join us when we continue the discussion about this exciting prophecy in the Book of Revelation Sunday at 12 p.m. Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll continue the discussion. Thank you for being with me and with us. God bless you. And until next time, friend, take care.